that brief sketch, I don't know if it's comical or tragic or both, it kind of sets the stage for us tonight to think about the concept of the Eruv. And that's our goal, is to give a brief introductory survey to the concept of an Eruv, the laws of Eruvin, and to understand what it is and why it is and why there's so much controversy and how it affects us all the time, especially when we are on vacation. When we're home, there is a communal Eruv which exists here in the neighborhood, and we should know a little bit about that, which we'll talk about as we go. But especially, let's say we are going somewhere else for Shabbos and we want to know about, you know, going away with another family, or I'm joining a family who's going to be away, or I'm going to be by myself, but I'll be in an area. Can I play ball? Can I carry something to someone else's house? I'm renting an Airbnb. Now that, you know, this kind of travel is much more popular, it's a much bigger deal, and it's something that's going to come up a lot more often. I heard a rumor there's a box of matzah in the shul. Anybody know what that's about? So I think these are all issues that are relevant to the topic of Eruvin, that hopefully with a couple of minutes tonight, we can lay out some of the principles. And the basic initial requirement is that to be able to carry, to share, to move, we all, whoever is going to be together, we need to be in one single private domain. That is the principle. Now, why is that? Because, let's start at the beginning, we know that there are 39 categories of prohibited activity called malachos of Shabbos. One of those malachos is called hotza'ah, carrying out an item which is currently resting in a rishus hayachid, a private domain. If I take it out, whether that's throwing, stretching, carrying, walking, pushing, all of those, to move something from a private domain into a public domain, that is an Isser d'Oraisa, a biblical primary violation of the laws of Shabbos. Comes along Shlomo HaMelech and he makes a takana, he makes a rabbinic enactment. He says, wait a second, if we allow everybody to be taking things from one private domain to another private domain, they may come to carry things from a private domain into a public domain. And that institution of Shlomo HaMelech created the concept of an Eruv. An Eruv is to create one private domain. Shlomo HaMelech says, you can't carry from one private domain to somebody else's private domain, but if you become one private domain, then you can carry and throw and bring in all those kinds of things, one to the other. So it's pretty simple, right? All we need to do is to create one shared private domain. So far, so good, right? You are halfway there. The only challenge is, what does it require to make one private shared domain? The answer is, it requires three things: walls, food, and permission. Walls, food, and permission. So let's start with walls. What makes something a private domain? What makes something halachically into a rishus hayachid, one person's private property? Well, what delineates somebody's private property? You're driving in the countryside, you know, you're going down the highway and you see fields and fields and fields. Well, what makes something delineated as my property? What's the answer? Anybody can unmute now if you'd like. I think there is allow participants to unmute. So everybody's invited to unmute now. I'm not going to call on anybody just yet. What makes something a private domain? Still waiting. You owning the property, yes, but how, if I'm looking out at an expanse, how can I tell where one person's property ends and somebody else's begins? What makes it that my property is protected and personal and private? What's that? Someone said, what's that? That's right, a fence, exactly, a mechitza, a barrier. That is what the Gemara says in Shabbos creates a rishus hayachid. There's a machlokas in the Rishonim, whether it's three walls or four walls. Let's assume right now, just for simplicity, we need four walls. I have a house. My house has four walls, right? That's the basic building blocks of a house, is that it has walls. That's what protects me. That's what keeps me warm. That's what keeps it personal. So all I need is that we should all be encircled in one house. The only thing is that, yeah, I don't know. Does everybody want, you know, if we're going to have a shared experience, do you all have to sleep in my house? No, we're going to build a wall that's going to surround all of us. This wall is going to make all of our neighborhoods. I'm looking at this screen. I see a bunch of boxes. I'm drawing a perimeter around. I'm going to build a wall around all of our houses. So that's the first thing that we can do. If you want to make an Eruv, the first thing is we need a private domain. You need a Rishus HaYachid. You need a wall. So there are lots of ways you can build walls. So, for example, you ever drive on the highway and you see those giant sound barriers? Those would be good. Those would be good walls. The halacha recognizes that not every wall is exactly straight. Let's say you have a wall that's on a curve that looks like this. Would that qualify as a wall? So the Gemara says there's something called a tail of mislakit. There's an acceptable slope that if it's not too gradual, it'll qualify as a wall. Well, think about it. If you're walking, let's say, from Skokie to West Rogers Park, and you're walking along the channel, the sculpture park, you see there's a big slope going down into the river, right? Guess what? That's a wall. Awesome. So far, we've got physical barriers. There are walls. The problem is that if I'm renting this Airbnb with some other family down the street, it's not so simple to put up a wall between my house and their house just for Shabbos. That's not so simple, is it? It's not so practical always to put up a wall. There's an Eruv in Chicago, there's an Eruv in Skokie. They don't have a wall around the entire neighborhood. And even, by the way, when you have gated communities, sometimes there isn't a full wall that goes all the way around. Sometimes there are openings in those walls. And now we don't have, again, we're just doing a survey here, so we're not getting into the width of the piazza and the corner on the side. But it's not so simple to create a full enclosure. Well, you could talk about walls, you could talk about slopes, but you could also talk about something else. Right now, I'm sitting in my office. I'm going to turn my laptop around so you can see. Let's see if I can do this without interrupting everything. You're going to see right now, this is full show and tell. Most people, usually when I have this screen, nobody sees the other side of the office. You see, right here, I have a wall. This is the far wall in my office. And here is how I get in and out of the office. It's through a door. Does this door, and it happens to be closed right now, but does that door interrupt my wall? No. I'm in an office. There are no windows in this office. I'm in the basement. But there's a door. There's nothing wrong with having a door. That's how I get in and out of the office, right? So the door is part of the wall. So if I look at this door, it has a very specific shape to it. You'll probably recognize the shape. It has two sides, one, two, and it has a lintel. Two sides and a lintel. That is my door frame. Inside the door frame, I put the door. Sometimes you have door frames that don't even have doors, correct? Oh. So Chazal said, wait a minute, that's a great idea. What if I have walls, but in addition to the walls, I have doorways? That's no problem. I always have doorways in my kitchen, in my dining room, in my house. I have gates that open into my yard. There's a doorway there. So now, if I take two poles that look like this and like this, I'm going to put these two Svarim on Hilchos Eruvin right in front of the screen. I hope you can see them. So I have one pole that goes like this. This is an amazing sefer on Hilchos Eruvin called Nesivos Shabbos. This is a great English sefer called The Laws of an Eruv. I put the walls or my posts, my sticks, my doorposts, one side and one side. And then I take a cord. Let's say it's an electric wire or something like that, and I run it across on the top. I have just made a structure that looks like a doorway. That's called a tsuras ha-pesach. Tsura means the shape. Pesach means an opening. So now we understand what is an Eruv. An Eruv, number one, is a private domain that is created by building walls. So that wall system that exists in an Eruv is a series of boundaries, of slopes, of walls, and of doorways. And one of the things about doorways, there's a lot to deal with. And we're just giving you the concepts, not getting into the details, but you can make doorways out of many, many things, like poles for electric wires. That could be your lechis. The lechis are the side posts. You could have a korah on the top, the beam on the top, that could be an electric wire. So you might actually be driving down the street right next to the boundary, the wall of the Eruv, and you would not know it because it's just a series of doorways of lechis and korah, of poles and wires. Now, there are several impediments to this. Number one is that when you have an actual public thoroughfare, a full Rishus HaRabim d'Oraisa, there is a problem with using these doorways extensively. That's one separate thing. A Rishus HaRabim d'Oraisa is a major thoroughfare like a highway. There's two opinions in the Rishonim whether or not you require 600,000 people on there every day. But if you want to know why Erevin are controversial, this is one reason. Because if you have, imagine you take a pole and you put it on one side and the other side of the Eden's Expressway, I-94, and you put a wire on the top, and the cars are all running through back and forth, they don't even notice that there's a barrier there. Happens to be there's a doorway, but they're ignoring that. So does the car traffic, does it overrun the doorway? So that's a big question. Does that qualify as a Rishus HaRabim d'Oraisa? What if you have an area that's uninhabited in the middle of your area? It's called a karpaf. Let's say you have there used to be, if you remember, if you were driving, this is a Chicago reference, you're driving north on McCormick, on your left side, there's that smelly building. I don't know what it is, some kind of water treatment plant. Right next to that, there used to be a huge area of overgrown brush that you can't walk in. Well, maybe that poses a problem, because the whole idea here is that we're fencing in our private property. But if in the middle of your private property, you have an unusual area that cannot be used, so maybe that poses a problem for your privacy. The third issue, obviously, is when you have breaches. So when the email goes out, God forbid, once every, you know, couple of years, they say the Eruv is down. What does it mean, the Eruv is down? It means that, wait a second, to be one private domain, you need to be enclosed. But if one section of it is broken, because let's say someone's doing construction and they take down a wire, well, that wire took down the top of your door frame, and now you have a giant gap in your wall. So this is issue number one. To make an Eruv, you need to have a private domain. Let's say you're going out there, you're renting two Airbnbs, so the houses are right next to each other. The fact that they're next to each other doesn't help because there's grass in between. So I'm going to need to make a structure to actually connect the two houses, either with a wall or a Tzuras HaPesach, the doorway shape. So I'm happy to take questions, or you call your local Orthodox rabbi when this happens, but there are ways to build a structure to make it one private domain. But that's the first requirement of an Eruv. It's got to be one private integrated domain through using these mechitzos, these partitions. Okay, questions, comments, or observations? Okay, so let's move to section two. Now that we've created this boundary, so that could be in a campsite where we're going to string up lots of Tzuras HaPesachs. I'm going to string up all these poles and lintels. It could be in a metropolitan area. It could be in a gated community. Now I'm going to put that all together. When Halacha talks about an Eruv, it's actually not referring to the boundary. That's actually a misnomer. When people say, the Eruv is down, that's actually not technically accurate. Eruv means to join together, to come together. What brings us together? We're Yidden, we're Jews. Food! The Eruv is the food. The main point, the main Eruv is the shared food. So today, if you go into, I think it's in Or Torah, in the main shul, you go into the closet, you will find a box of matzah. That box of matzah is the Eruv. I think in Lincolnwood, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's in Beis Chaim David, or it's in Rabbi Twersky's house. I don't know where it is in Chicago. The Mishnah says in Eruvin that an Eruv is a shared food. Why do we use matzah? Because we don't have to want to replace it every Shabbos when it gets stale. Matzah stays, as we know, very long. Usually they replace it once a year before Pesach. The shared food is what creates the Eruv. 18 grogros for the whole city, that's enough. And why is that good? Because if the whole point is to make us into one private domain, here we are now together in this gated, walled-in Rishus HaYachid, and there's food that we're all sharing. So that food in the shul is for anyone to eat. If you go into shul on Friday night and you want to make hamotzi and make a Suda Shabbos out of that Erev food, you are allowed to. And if you are not allowed to, if for some reason somebody tells you you can't, then the Erev becomes a problem. The point is that everybody is sharing the food. Now, this actually is important to know, because that means that if you're already sharing the food, in many instances, you don't actually need to make a new Erev. So let's say you're on a campsite and you are all eating out of the camp kitchen. Well, if you're all eating out of the camp kitchen, you're all sharing the food already. So all you need to do is the step one to make sure you have a boundary, but you don't actually need to make an Erev. You don't need to say a bracha, which you do when you set an Erev and designate the food. You don't need to do that because you're already sharing the food. So this can come up. This actually, it's more complicated, but it's just to be aware of. Let's say you have a couple of people who are going on a trip and they're going to a hotel. So in a hotel, most of the time, you actually don't need to make an Eruv, because the people in the hotel have the right to kick you out of your room in the middle and change you to a different room, and therefore it's not really yours. But let's say you were in an arrangement where you owned the apartment and you wanted to connect to each other, so you need to make an Eruv. But if you're sharing the food already, let's say one person is doing the kitchen cooking and you're all eating there together, you're just sleeping in different apartments, but you're eating in the shared apartment, then that is your Eruv, and you don't need to make a new Eruv. You need to make sure that you're in the same Rishus HaYachid, but you don't need to set out separate food. To make sure that this food belongs to everybody, we have to do something called Zechia. We have to acquire it to everyone. So let's say I have here this Sefer, this awesome Sefer on Hilchos Erevin, and I wanted to acquire it to someone. Well, you know what I could do? Tammy was on this call. She's only a few blocks away. I could say, Tammy, can you do me a favor? I want to meet you outside. I see that Mrs. Katz, she is unavailable right now, but I want her to own the Sefer. If you, Mrs. Miller, pick this Sefer up, if you make a kinyan on it, you can acquire it for Mrs. Katz. So what we will do is we will have someone who will come pick up the matzah on behalf of everyone in the community, and now we all own the matzah together. We all have a share in the food. So we take the food, we designate it, and we acquire it to everyone. There's sufficient amount for everybody, and everybody has the permission to come and eat it, and the food is in one house, and it's like we're all eating in one kitchen. So that is part two of what it takes to make an Eruv. We had the boundary, now we've got the food, and that is actually the Eruv that actually joins us together. Okay, no questions. So we've got our one private domain, we've got our shared food, but here's the complication. Let's say you talk about a metropolitan Eruv, or a gated community. So we want to acquire this food to all the people who are here. Great, and we want everybody to participate in the Eruv. So let's say you have people who are non-Orthodox. We say, don't worry, we are going to acquire the food to them, and they're going to participate in the Eruv, even though they don't know anything about Eruvin, they don't know anything about Shabbos, Rachman al-Itzlan, but it's okay, they'll enjoy it, and it's good for them. They would, Zachm al-Adam, they would prefer to be part of the Eruv than not be part of the Eruv, for sure, right? But, the Gemara says in the Eruv, we have a special rule that does not apply to non-Jews. Not only that, because Chazal were sensitive to the challenges of living in the same apartment building or the same neighborhood as non-Jews, Chazal said we have to actually be extra stringent, extra machmir. And that means that you have to rent the right to the Eruv from any non-Jews who are inside this chatzar, this courtyard. Now it's not so simple. I'm going to put an Eruv up around, let's say, the village of Skokie. There are 50,000 people here. Lots of them are Jews, but lots of them are non-Jews. So what am I going to do? I'm going to build a wall around the entire Skokie. Great. I've got my walls. I've got my slopes. I've got my doorways. So that's going to be built around the entire area. I'm going to take the food and I'm going to acquire it to everyone. But I have all these non-Jews. What do I do? So the Gemara says you have to do schiras rishus, you have to rent the permission. So this becomes a big quandary. So practically what we do today is we consider the municipality, because they have the right in time of emergency to enter into your property through a police order, through a search warrant, through eminent domain, or, you know, a quartering act, being Congress. We consider local governments, and there are different ways of looking at this, whether it's the mayor or the office of the police, or if it's the federal government, whoever, whatever office you're going to think about that's going to be effective, to have the right to go into every non-Jew's house, and by asking that authority to speak on behalf of the non-Jews, we allow them to rent out all the property of the non-Jews for the purpose of building the Eruv. So, somebody goes to the village and says to the mayor and the chief of police, who we say to them, wait a second, if there was an emergency, could you go into that person's home? They say, yes, we could. So we say, great, we're going to ask you to act on their behalf. We're going to give you $5, and we're going to rent the right to make an Eruv from all the non-Jews in this village. And they say, great. And they make a proclamation, and they take the money, and that is the third ingredient for an Eruv. So now, when you think about all of your travel plans and all of your Eruvin, we realize that we need to check three boxes, and sometimes different ones of these three boxes are more complicated. You might go to a gated community, and you could scout it out around the entire gate, and you say, wow, this entire gated community is entirely enclosed by a wall. What about the front? There are gates that open. No problem. I'll build a Tzuras HaPesach around that. Great. Then I'm going to take food for Shabbos, and I'm going to put it aside, and I'm going to give it to a friend of mine who is going to acquire it on behalf of all the people in this gated community. And now we have an Eruv. Not yet. You have to figure out how you're going to do a Schiras Rishus. If you have non-Jews who are in that gated community, you might have 50 Airbnbs rented out for, you know, Cousin Shmerel's bat mitzvah, bar mitzvah, ofrev getaway, but you have to get permission from the non-Jews next door to be part of the Eruv. So this becomes an interesting question. You live in an apartment building. So this apartment building, let's say, is 20 units. And you have 10 units that are owned by religious people. So we all agree, great, we're going to share an Eruv, we're going to put some food out, and we're in the building. The building belongs to a co-op, or it belongs to the owner of the building, doesn't matter. The point is that there are 20 units in the building, 10 are Jews, we've got, of course, the building has walls, so we're all walled in this building, and we're sharing food. Yeah, but you have to figure out Schiras Rishus from the people in the building who are not Jewish. Let's say you have all from people on one floor, so then it'll be different, but you got to figure out, you know, who has the rights to the hallway and getting permission to go from one to the other. So sometimes the Schiras Rishus is the trickiest one. Oftentimes the food is the easiest one to get around, because you can make a zechiah, you can acquire the food to anybody. And most of the time, I would say it's the barriers that pose the biggest problems, because how are you going to construct a physical barrier that's going to encompass these two rishuyos? So if you have two houses that are next to each other, what you can do is you can make two Tzuras HaPesachs on opposite sides of, let's say, the two doorways, and you can have a hallway connecting the two houses, and that'll be your boundary. But it's not always so simple. How to make Tzuras HaPesach? So there is, of course, as someone mentioned before, there's a debate about this too. What strength do you need? You need some kind of things on the side. So there's machlokas. It doesn't have to be strong. Even one opinion is that it could be masking tape taped up on the wall. But let's say you buy a 2x4 from Home Depot. You got one 2x4 on this side, one 2x4 on this side, and then you're going to put something on the top. So If it's got to look like a doorway, it's a question, according to the many poskim, what happens if the fishing line starts to sag? That's a question. And it's also got to go directly on top of the posts. It can't go next to it, because it's got to be a proper shape of a doorway. So as you're going through these different scenarios, when you're going on vacation or traveling, or even realizing the community that we're living in, you've got to check these three boxes to create one shared private domain. You've got to have walls, you've got to have food, and you've got to have permission. And once you check all of those boxes, it's going to be great. But I would say each of those boxes has many, many, many halachic details. And so it's important, it's worthwhile before you're going to go away or undertake something like this to consult somebody who is an expert in Hilchos Erevin. I can tell you one final story before I conclude. We were once on an NCSY Shabbaton in a campsite, and on Shabbos we noticed that one of the strings, one of the lines at the top of one of the Tzuras HaPesachs had fallen down on Shabbos. So this was many years ago. I didn't have smicha then, and even, you know, at that point I wouldn't have no idea what to do. What happens if your Erev falls down on Shabbos? So at that time, I had never learned anything about Hilchos Erevin, but in this particular camp on the East Coast, they had a library. The library was locked on Shabbos because we were just renting it out for NCSY, but we were a very resourceful staff, so we were able to break into the library where I was able to find a copy of the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. And the Shmir Shabbos tells you that if the Erev food is eaten up on Shabbos, that's not a problem. Once Shabbos started, the Erev is okay. But if the Erev line, the actual structure, the barrier falls down, that is a problem, but you can have a non-Jew come and fix it. So we had the custodian who was there, the maintenance person on this campsite, to come to fix the Erev in the middle of Shabbos. But there are so many complications. So it's kedai to find out before you go to, you know, a hotel. Although, again, a hotel usually doesn't need it because the hotel management can move you from one room to the other. Before you go to a gated community or an Airbnb to figure out what are the perimeters around, to figure out who owns the property, who you need to do a skiris from to get permission. And now at least we understand why there are poles and walls and why there are matzahs in our shuls, and what it takes to create just the basic concept of an Erev. So it's something that's relevant to us every single Shabbos of the year. Any questions, comments, or observations?